The following is a review of the Equity Investments Principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by CFA Institute. This topic is also covered in Equity Valuation, Concepts, and Basic Tools. The first LOS asks us to evaluate whether a security, given its current market price and a value estimate, is overvalued, fairly valued, or undervalued by the market. Recall from the topic review of market efficiency that intrinsic value or fundamental value is defined as the rational value investors would place on the asset if they had full knowledge of the asset's characteristics. Analysts use valuation models to determine the intrinsic values of stocks and compare them to the stock's market prices to determine whether individual stocks are overvalued, undervalued, or fairly valued. In doing valuation analysis for stocks, analysts are assuming that some stocks' prices deviate significantly from their intrinsic values. To the extent that market prices deviate from intrinsic values, analysts who can estimate a stock's intrinsic value better than the market can earn abnormal profits if the stock's market price moves toward its intrinsic value over time. There are several things to consider, however, in deciding whether to invest based on differences between market prices and estimated intrinsic values. The larger the percentage difference between market prices and estimated values, the more likely the investor is to take a position based on the estimate of intrinsic value. Small differences between market prices and estimates of intrinsic values are to be expected. The more confident the investor is about the appropriateness of the valuation model used, the more likely the investor is to take an investment position in a stock that is identified as overvalued or undervalued. The more confident the investor is about the estimated inputs used in the valuation model, the more likely the investor is to take an investment position in a stock that is identified as overvalued or undervalued. Analysts must also consider the sensitivity of a model value to each of its inputs in deciding whether to act on a difference between model values and market prices. If a decrease of 0.5% in the long-term growth rate used in the valuation model would produce an estimated value equal to the market price, an analyst would have to be quite sure of the model's growth estimate to take a position in the stock based on its estimated value. Even if we assume that market prices sometimes deviate from intrinsic values, market prices must be treated as fairly reliable indications of intrinsic value. Investors must consider why a stock is mispriced in the market. Investors may be more confident about estimates of value that differ from market prices when few analysts follow a particular security. Finally, to take a position in a stock identified as mispriced in the market, an investor must believe that the market price will actually move toward, and certainly not away from, its estimated intrinsic value, and that it will do so to a significant extent within the investment time horizon. The next LOS is to describe major categories of equity valuation models. Analysts use a variety of models to estimate the value of equities. Usually, an analyst will use more than one model with several different sets of inputs to determine a range of possible stock values. In discounted cash flow or present value models, a stock's value is estimated as the present value of cash distributed to shareholders, in the case of dividend discount models, or the present value of cash available to shareholders after the firm meets its necessary capital expenditures and working capital expenses, in the case of free cash flow to equity models. There are two basic types of multiplier or market multiple models that can be used to estimate intrinsic values. In the first type, the ratio of stock price to such fundamentals as earnings, sales, book value, or cash flow per share is used to determine if a stock is fairly valued. For example, the price-to-earnings ratio is frequently used by analysts. The second type of multiplier model is based on the ratio of enterprise value to either revenue or earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Enterprise value is the market value of all a firm's outstanding securities minus cash and short-term investments. Common stock value can be estimated by subtracting the value of liabilities and preferred stock from an estimate of enterprise value. In asset-based models, the intrinsic value of common stock is estimated as total asset value minus liabilities and preferred stock. Analysts typically adjust the book values of the firm's assets and liabilities to their fair values when estimating the market value of its equity with an asset-based model. The next LOS requires us to explain the rationale for using present value models to value equity and describe the dividend discount and free cash flow to equity models. The dividend discount model, or DDM, is based on the rationale that the intrinsic value of stock is the present value of its future dividends. The most general form of the model is as follows. Current stock value equals the sum of each future dividend at time T, discounted for T periods at the required rate of return on common equity. For a holding period of 1 year, the value of the stock today is the present value of any dividends during the year plus the present value of the expected price of the stock at the end of the year, referred to as its terminal value. The 1 year holding period DDM is simply value equals dividend to be received, discounted 1 period at the required rate of return on common equity, plus the year-end price discounted 1 period at the required rate of return on common equity. For example, we can calculate the value of a stock that paid a $1 dividend last year if next year's dividend will be 5% higher. The stock will sell for $13.45 at year-end, and the required return is 13.2%. The next dividend is the current dividend increased by the estimated growth rate, or $1.05. The present value of that dividend is $1.05 divided by 1.132, which equals 93 cents. The present value of the year-end price is $13.45 divided by 1.132, which equals $11.88. The current value, based on the investor's expectations, is 93 cents plus $11.88, which equals $12.81. With a multiple-year holding period, we simply sum the present values of the estimated dividends over the holding period and the estimated terminal value. For a 2-year holding period, we have value equals dividend to be received in period 1, discounted 1 period at the required rate of return on common equity, plus dividend to be received in period 2, discounted 2 periods at the required rate of return on common equity, plus the price at the end of period 2, discounted 1 period at the required rate of return on common equity. The most general form of the DDM uses an infinite holding period because a corporation has an indefinite life. In an indefinite period DDM model, the present value of all expected future dividends is calculated and there is no explicit terminal value for the stock. In practice, as we will see, a terminal value can be calculated at a time in the future after which the growth rate of dividends is expected to be constant. Free cash flow to equity, or FCFE, is often used in discounted cash flow models instead of dividends because it represents the potential amount of cash that could be paid out to common shareholders. That is, FCFE reflects the firm's capacity to pay dividends. FCFE is also useful for firms that do not currently pay dividends. FCFE is defined as the cash remaining after a firm meets all of its debt obligations and provides for the capital expenditures necessary to maintain existing assets and to purchase the new assets needed to support the assumed growth of the firm. In other words, it is the cash available to the firm's equity holders after a firm meets all of its other obligations. FCFE for a period is often calculated as net income plus depreciation, minus increase in working capital, minus fixed capital investment minus debt principal repayments plus new debt issues. FCFE can also be calculated as cash flow from operations minus fixed capital investment plus net borrowing. In this second formula, net borrowing is the increase in debt during the period, which equals the amount borrowed minus the amount repaid, and is assumed to be available to shareholders. Fixed capital investment must be subtracted because the firm must invest in assets to sustain itself. FCFE is projected for future periods using the firm's financial statements. Restating the general form of the DDM in terms of FCFE, we have current stock value equals the sum of FCFE in each future period T, discounted for T periods at the required rate of return on common equity. How do we estimate the required return on equity? The capital asset pricing model provides an estimate of the required rate of return for a security as a function of its systematic risk, the risk-free rate, and the expected return on the market. There is some controversy over whether the capital asset pricing model is the best model to calculate the required return on equity. Also, different analysts will likely use different inputs, so there is no single number that is correct. Recall from the topic review of cost of capital that for firms with publicly traded debt, analysts often estimate the required return on the firm's common equity by adding a risk premium to the firm's current bond yield. If the firm does not have publicly traded debt, an analyst can add a larger risk premium to a government bond yield.